Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft to help me interpret the Eurasian continent at war in Ukraine and in the Middle East. We begin with the headlines from London. Russia says it recaptured 10 villages in Kursk counterattack. This news came for the first time in the last 12 hours, announced by a Chechen general, special forces, in Moscow, after some days and weeks of speculation that the Kursk salient was not especially priority for Moscow, not to draw troops away from the Donbass. And now, Anatole, a very good evening to you. Is this something that surprises you, or did you expect this, a counterattack days after the original events? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Well, I certainly expected a Russian counterattack in Kursk at some stage because, you know, they can't possibly allow Ukraine to go on holding Russian territory. I didn't particularly expect it now, but I think, you know, what it does illustrate is, of course, what we all know, which is simply that Russia has a good many more troops than the Ukrainians, and this allows it to attack simultaneously in the Donbass and in Kursk. No doubt they also want to prevent the Ukrainians from transferring some of their best troops from Kursk to the Donbass front, because, you know, what is also very evident, I think, you know, from the performance of both Russian and Ukrainian conscripts and reports we've been hearing, that, of course, it's not just about how many troops, but it's also about the quality of the troops. The, you know, the really good troops on both sides are limited in number, and, you know, there's a widespread view that the Ukrainians made a serious mistake by using many of their best troops in the attack on Kursk, which meant, of course, that they did not have them available to prevent the ongoing Russian offensive in the Donbass.
The concern everyone has is the war spinning out of control. We've talked about this now and again, but a surprise such as this, I'm surprised the Kursk salient is now to be hammered away, suggests that there's more than diplomacy going on. There's war planning. You mentioned manpower. I have been told that the manpower is exaggerated in the difference at the front line, not just 3-1. The number 10-1 has been given to me. And for some time, Kyiv has made it very clear that it has a manpower shortage. It's looking for more troops. Does that put a full stop on the war, or does this war continue no matter the inequity? Kyiv will not negotiate no matter how futile the gesture.
Well, I think that actually, I mean, Kyiv's position on that is changing, as, by the way, is that of the West. There is more and more of the language, including from Western governments, of the need eventually for negotiations. And, you know, among serious military analysts and in private governments, nobody now believes that Ukraine can actually win a complete victory and drive the Russians out of all the territory that they've taken. So, you know, it's really a question of where the eventual line on the ground is as a result of what happens on the battlefield, but also, of course, what the other conditions that are attached are. And you know, one of the reasons, and they said this, though not, they, this hasn't been tremendously emphasized, but it is there if you read the reports, why Blinken and Lammy went to Kiev, they said, it was to pledge continued support for Ukraine, but they also said that they were going to ask what Ukraine's goals are now in the war, which basically means what are the minimal terms that Ukraine could accept in a peace settlement or a ceasefire. And that we don't know. Zelensky has said that he is presenting a new peace plan. He's going to present a new peace plan in Western capitals and to both the Kamala Harris and the Donald Trump teams. But we don't know what's in it. I mean, if it's anything like the previous Ukrainian plan, which demanded complete Russian withdrawal and war crimes trials and reparations, well, that's pointless. That is simply not going to happen. But, you know, so things are changing. Changing, of course, also, it seems, when it comes to allowing the Ukrainians to use Western missiles to strike deep in Russia. When it comes to the political front and negotiations, we don't know yet how fast they're changing. Or, of course, whether Russia would be open to any kind of reasonable settlement as long as Russian forces are pushing forward.
You mentioned the air war. I mentioned that as of yesterday, we were told 140 drones were launched against Moscow by Kyiv. Most were shot down by air defense, we're told. However, some got through, and there was one report of a casualty, a KIA, a young woman, I believe, meaning that the drones hit somewhere near residencies or where the woman was just bad luck. I'm reminded of an iconic photograph from 1941 of Russian Soviet troops on the top of a building in Moscow with binoculars staring out into the wintry sky, expecting the bombers at any moment. So the puzzle here is this is no longer about Kursk or Rostov. This is about a strike at the center of Russia itself. Has that changed the flavor of this war for Moscow and for the Russian people?
Yes, to a degree. But as long as the attacks are so ineffective, it won't change it radically. Moscow is a city of, well, if you count all the suburbs, and the only death was in a suburb, it's about 15 million people. And I saw in Kiev last year how a city of 4 million people can absorb, much greater and more intensive attack while, to be honest, hardly noticing it. Unless you've been there, you don't actually fully understand, the balance between the size of a modern city and the limited armaments that can be deployed against it. Now, that's not true, of course, of cities in the front line, but that's because they're under constant artillery bombardment, in Mariupol and Bakhmut and so forth, Grozny, or, of course, what happened in Syria, but not because of limited drone and missile strikes.
Well, I step back then again and observe there's a photograph of Mr. Zelensky standing between Mr. Lammy and Mr. Blinken with half smiles on their faces about their negotiations. You mentioned that. There is a sense here that we're escalating. I'm most recently reading Nick Lloyd's new book about the Eastern Front, 1914 to 1918, the Great War that tore apart the 20th century. The Second War was a follow-on. We know this. And much of what's happened since then. However, there was often diplomacy in the midst of that terrible war. And that doesn't preclude the escalation. It does not seem to be precluding it here. We can't tell. This could be a small war. This could be growing. I note the news, some denied, that Iran is selling missiles or giving missiles to Russia. That means that the two wars are coming together in some fashion. Is that escalation?
Well, yes, indeed. The thing is, in itself, it's not escalation. I mean, you know, we supply the Russians, we supply the Ukrainians with missiles. The Iranians provide the Russians with missiles. I mean, if we wanted to stop that, frankly, well, obviously, Trump shouldn't have withdrawn from the JCPOA, and Biden should have returned to it, and sanctions, you know, against against Iran should have been greatly ameliorated. You know, it is no good treating Iran the way we have over the years and then expecting them not to hit back against us when we get the when they get the chance, especially since they are being you know, paid for it by Russia very well. But I think, I mean, much more serious would be if Russia, you know, were actually itself to start directly helping Hezbollah and the Houthis in the Red Sea. And that would be not just a question of missiles, but it would be, of course, intelligence to help them target those missiles much more effectively. Now, that would be a serious escalation of the situation in the Middle East, which Russia has not done yet, for a whole set of reasons. But that, I think, is the kind of thing that Russia will do if the West itself provides long-range missiles to Ukraine and allows them to be used deep inside Russia. It's very hard not to see Russia retaliating in some way against that. Now, in the West, you know, the discourse has been, well, you know, Putin allowed the West to cross one Russian red line after another and didn't respond. Well, but, you know, the greatly intensified links to Iran, to North Korea, they are a response. The beginning of sabotage operations in Europe, that is a response, and that could be hugely intensified if the Russians were willing to escalate. So it's a mistake on our part, you know, simply to focus on the nuclear issue. You know, the use of nuclear weapons is not the first step in Russian escalation. It's the very last one. You know, you can't go beyond that.
I'm speaking to Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. The debate between the former president and the vice president touched on Ukraine. And when we come back, what is to be done? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.